This interview is brought to you by WatchAndWager.com.
At WatchAndWager.com, you'll find more racing action than any other ADW in America, with a $300 sign-up bonus, along with an additional $10 deposit bonus free when you make your first deposit via ACH, WatchAndWager.com is the place to play. Plus, WatchAndWager now offers all New York tracks and is available to California residents. WatchAndWager.com, licensed, regulated, and trusted in the USA.
Now joined by 27-year-old jockey Channing Hill, who is going to be aboard Aurelia's Bell for his father-in-law, Wayne Catalano. And nice note to be here with me today. What's up?
Good morning.
Happy, happy, bud.
Took a tour of Keeneland this morning. Went up the wrong elevator.
What is it with you in directions,
by the way? Oh, it's just terrible.
We got together for dinner last night, and there are two Mexican restaurants here in Lexington named Mi Pequeña Hacienda. And I thought I was very specific in telling you which
Definitely.
One to go to, and somehow you ended up at the wrong one.
Yep. I blame it on my wife. So.
Yeah, of course. You can always do that.
Good thing on the track you can only go left, you know?
But, you know, it's okay. You can get away with that kind of stuff because you did give your wife a baby. So
that's right.
Yeah. Good man. By the way, how is the little one?
Very good. Very good.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, look, Aurelia's Bell. This is a horse that you know pretty well. You were aboard her the last two starts. You won two starts ago in the Arlington Park Oaks on synthetic. You came back in the Grade 3 Pucker Up. You end up fifth that day. Tell me about her.
Very, very consistent filly. Very nice filly. I went on her first time out here at Keeneland last year over the Poly. You know, I think it was 7/8, three quarters, 7/8, and just was a little too short for her. But she still, you know, managed to tip out, run down the leader, and actually run a huge race that day. We knew that she was pretty talented from there, and when she went to Gulfstream, she handled the dirt down there pretty well. You know, she ran some few bang up races, and then. When Wayne brought her back to Turfway to run in the stake at Turfway, she really, really blossomed back on the Poly again. And she ran actually a really good race, you know, to set her up for the Kentucky Oaks, which got her in there. And then Kentucky Oaks Day, she just didn't handle the track at all. It was a little deep for her, a little slick, and she just didn't grab a hold of it at all. And then when she came back and she ran on the turf, she got lucky enough to get put up. You know, with the real nice horse that ended up winning it. And,
yeah, a little bit. Was it a little bit sassy?
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very nice filly. And then I was fortunate enough to ride her back at Arlington, and she just kind of played with that field. You know, she just kind of went out there, relaxed nice down the backside. And when I asked her to tip home, she really sprinted home. She's a little quirky filly.
I was going to ask you that. Does she have her little quirks?
Yeah, you know, Wayne's been putting the blinkers on in the morning, taking them off, and then he had them fly screens on her just because she likes to look at things. She likes to duck away from things. But in the afternoon, she's real straight. She's real forward, and she puts her head down and really, really runs to the wire. So,
how much time do you spend looking at the other horses that you're racing against? I mean, do you watch replays? Do you go back and just read the form? What's your preparation like going into a big grade one like this?
Within a race like this, it's just because a lot of the horses are very consistent, so you can get a very good pattern on how they're going to go into the race. It's much easier for me than to handicap like a $5,000 claimer, you know, or $10,000, something like that, where the horses are a little less consistent. You know, one of them, some days they'll run a big race and the other days they'll regress for seemingly no reason. You know, with these big races and these nice horses, you know, they're pretty consistent and it would take something really to throw them off their game. So for me, it's easier to handicap the race, you know, when I know, you know, what they're wanting to do, you know, and everybody's wanting to take a pretty good shot at it. So, I'll go and watch all the replays pretty much on every horse in the race, you
really?
Know, just to get a good feel on it. It's usually maybe
what
not
the
whole.
What are you looking for?
To me, it depends on how much speed I have. And either way, if I got a lot of speed, I want to see who has natural speed out of the gate, because I feel like you can take a real advantage, you know, especially in a good race like this, because everybody seems to want to settle and make a run for the last quarter mile. And if you can take advantage of the first three steps, four steps, I mean, that's huge for someone like me. But to watch all the replays, it's just to get a feel like their quirkiness is, you know, just just odd things that they'll want to do or don't want to do. Like, let's say if a horse doesn't want to be inside, and if I can exploit that, you know, then obviously I'd take that full advantage. You know, and that's something you can't see just by looking at the program, you know, like little things like that. And like I said, if I got any speed, I would like to see who broke and wanted to be taken back or who broke and had to be sent, you know, because that's a big difference from the first five jumps out of there.
Is your strategy different, or your approach to a big race like this different if it's contested on the grass like it is today as opposed to a dirt race, or is it still the same approach?
It's pretty much the same approach. Yeah. I think the way you ride it, it would be different, you know, obviously because the grass is just a different dynamic than the dirt.
Big difference in riding a grass race as opposed to a dirt race?
Definitely.
Really?
Definitely. The way I would imagine it is you usually let your horse bounce away from the gate, you know, in a dirt race, no matter the distance. You know, even if it's a mile and eighth, you know, you're getting into your mile and quarters, you're usually letting them really bounce to get into position. On the grass, it tends to be the opposite. You know, you let them break, and then you want to get them in stride and get them in position right away. To me, it seems like some people are a little more hesitant to be on the lead on the grass, you know, but then you can exploit that pretty easily. You know, I mean, if you get the right setup.
I mentioned a few minutes ago that you have 14 graded stakes on your resume. You're closing in on 1,000 career wins, fast approaching that. What's it like for you to be able to ride here at Keeneland with the likes of John Velasquez and Javier Castellano and some of the top names in the game that we see day in and day out?
Well, I got pretty lucky because when I first started, it was in New York, and you'd see, you know, at first you're like wide-eyed in that jocks room, and you're like, wow, these guys are the guys that I've looked up to, and they're like these amazing jockeys, and then over time you get used to it, and then you get used to riding races with them, and then it's got to be just like an NBA rookie, you know, going in there and going, oh man, this guy, you know, he's, you know, that's LeBron James. I can't believe he's, you know, I'm playing with him, but, and then you slowly get used to it, you know, and the more comfortable you get, the better you ride them races. And coming to Keeneland, it really makes you step your game up because it's just a different feel. You know, there's a lot of people out. There's a lot of people that point specifically for Keeneland, and that's a huge pressure, you know, like, because it's almost like being in Saratoga. You take your shot at Saratoga and you gotta hit the mark on it, you know. You don't get too many bullets in Saratoga, so you gotta hit the target. And for me, I love that pressure. That pressure really makes you go to your next level.
Yeah, we'll hear that a lot with athletes where they want the spotlight, they want the pressure, and that's something that you thrive on.
Yeah, I think it helps you mentally prepare better because I think you can kind of get a little, you know, lazadaisical about just riding some races sometimes. You know, like, you can go out there, it's a $10,000 horse, you know, you're like, you know, you're 10-1, 15-1, you're like, you know, you ride as best race as you can, but it's not like life and death to it, you know. With like a big race like today, I mean, you see a lot more, you know, rubbing and you see a lot more bumping, just not like major bumping, but like, they're going to keep your spot much more today.
Nobody's giving you anything.
No, they won't give you any space today, which to me is fun. You know, it's exciting. You know, you're rubbing some wheels and you know, you're really getting into it.
You told me last night that as a kid growing up wanting to be a jockey, of course your dad was a jockey, but you grew up idolizing and looking up to Robbie Alvarado. He was one of the main guys that you looked up to.
Yeah.
How about getting a chance to ride with your idol here every day? That's kind of cool.
You know, I was telling him that just probably a couple years ago when he went to Arlington for the summer. And it's just one of them things you just can't believe, you know, especially from a kid from Nebraska and you know, knowing a lot of my friends, you know, just having the opportunity to ride in like places like this and ride with people like Robbie and it's just amazing. It's like, sometimes you want to get down a little bit, like, you know, I'm here at Keeneland, I'm 0 for something, you know, so you want to get down a little bit, but then you want to take that step back. You look at the landscape and you go, man, I could be in a lot worse spots than this, you know? And I really feel fortunate that I'm able to be here, and that's very genuine. A lot of people want to be a little tongue-in-cheek about it, but honestly, I mean, I could easily have just ended up in, back at Fawner Park or, you know, any place like that. So, I mean, just given the opportunity to ride here and then win graded stakes and stuff, and it's just what an amazing ride, you know.
Talking with jockey Channing Hill here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So you're going to get a leg up from your father-in-law, Wayne Catalano, today.
Yeah.
What's that like?
It's easy. Wayne is
How about if things don't go right during the race? If you happen to get the horse stuck in traffic or something, what's that like afterwards?
At least I can walk away from him, you know. But
you have to see him at some point.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
No avoiding
I can duck him. I can duck him out or just hide behind my wife. That's what I tend to do.
Just keep reminding him of the grandbaby, right?
Yeah, exactly. I just hold the grandbaby up in front of his face and be like, he can't yell at me in front of him, you know. But
have you ever had that happen where you just know that, oh, my God, I'm going to come back. He's going to be so mad at me. I don't want to come back.
I think that, I mean, probably every two or three races, it seems like. So it's he's the ultimate professional. When he gets out there and you can explain what happened or what didn't happen, he's good. You know, he was an ex-rider too, so and he won a lot of races, so he knows exactly what. That's the one thing about Wayne is you can't fool him, though. You know, a lot of times you can come back and come with a little bit of an excuse, and Wayne will see right through that.
You had some scary moments with him this summer. Of course, he was in the hospital for a long time. He was in a medically induced coma. It was touch and go for a little while there. I know you had a couple of days that were very trying. Got to be great to see him back to where he is now.
Oh, definitely. It was the first real summer that you know, me and my wife got married in January, so this is the first full year of family for me, it was difficult, you know, especially seeing my wife and Renee, Wayne's wife, you know, going through that. It just it's another thing that, you know, I told Wayne how lucky we are. You know, I seen them, they didn't move from his side. I mean, he was in that hospital 12 days, and I had to pry Shelby away, you know, out of there. So, and Renee never left. You know, she just, and it really made me think how fortunate I was to be married into that family and to be a family with such amazing people. It was, you know, you hate to see, you know, Wayne get sick, but what we've seen out of it was just, you know, just how much love and is in that family. And you know, Wayne, you know, I kept him telling Shelby, he's too stubborn to go that way, you know. So.
Well, he'll be at the All-Star Jockey Poker Tournament fundraiser tomorrow night here in Lexington at the Red Mile. And I remember last year he was there. They held it at the Castle in Versailles, and he was dancing all night long. So if he starts dancing tomorrow night, we'll know that he's back.
Yeah, he's back. I'm sure that he'll pop the gator at some stage. You know?
Channing Hill, Aurelius Bell for his father-in-law, Wayne Catalano, in today's QE2 Challenge Cup, looking for grade one win number two on that resume. I wish we had time to tell the story of the first one, because that was pretty incredible, my friend. But really appreciate it, and all the best. Safe trip today.
Thank you.
And thanks so much, man.
Thank you.
All right.